The theme for this whole Lenten season this year is return to Jesus with your whole heart. And in this passage, Isaiah is calling the people of God back to the ways of God and to remember all that God has promised them. He said, "You shall cry for help, and God will say, 'Here I am.'" There are so many distractions in our world that sways us off the path of God, though. But our God never gives up on us and constantly calls us back to the fold. So why should we listen? Why should we even bother? Why should we answer that call that sometimes comes very silently in a whisper? Isaiah lists many consequences of following God's way. But first he describes what God's way is and what God's way is not. He says, they delight to sincerely draw near to God. But the Pharisees saw themselves as righteous because they would fast publicly and regularly as a show of their holiness. So Isaiah was speaking against the priests and those holy people who thought they were greater than thou and above others, just because they would act as if they were holy. God could see the fasting of these priests in the temple was insincere. And so in contrast to the kind of fasting that these priests were exhibiting, God says, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke." And now to break every yoke means to undo the heavy burdens that the priests in the temples were laying on the shoulders of the people. There were numerous laws and taxes and expectations that were beyond what the people could achieve. And so they often were oppressing the common people and taking advantage of the poor as well. So Isaiah goes on to say, sincere fasting is to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. So if we follow the Lord's way, God's way, we are promised we will see God's light break forth like the dawn, it says, and our healing shall spring up quickly. And our vindicator, who is God, shall go before us. The glory of the Lord also shall be our rear guard. And so again, Isaiah emphasizes that when we follow God's way in the world, we will reap a reward in our well-being. He says, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. We will be guided continually, and our needs will be satisfied. Our bones will be strong, it says, and we shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Well, now, during the drought, I know we were all hoping to have this, to have a watered garden and springs of water that never fail. And now we are inundated with too much water. Life on earth is never perfect, and chaos does exist, and so does global warming. So we must trust that God will see us through, and we will be stronger in the end somehow. We will see the light finally break through the darkness and heal from our wounds. Now, I've been part of disaster recovery work in Haiti after the earthquake, in Joplin, Missouri after their EF4 tornado, in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and at the Jersey Shore after Hurricane Sandy. And we all go through a time of mourning the loss of life and the destruction of property. But after that settles down, the overwhelming response from the people who have survived disasters is most often a response of thanksgiving for surviving with their lives and an appreciation for the support from neighbors. And that's what I've heard so often from people who've lost their houses in the fires, too. How much they appreciate what they have left, their lives, their neighbors' support, their church's support. So it's amazing how the human spirit does this. I heard many stories of God's divine intervention, too, and God's guidance. Many have said they appreciate the reset of their lives also, and now appreciate the simple blessings in life that they never really were able to grasp onto as well as before. I'll never forget the huge hug I received for finding just enough of an elderly man's social security card that he could read the number on it in the midst of ruins of his tornado-ravaged home in Missouri. Him and his wife were just devastated. It was like a paper shredder had come through and ripped up their home and just left it in piles and shreds. But I was able to dig underneath and pull out his social security card. And you would have thought it was $1 million. He was just so excited. And I'll never forget the serendipity story from a middle-aged man about how thankful he was when the firefighters finally heard his voice calling out from under the rubble of his home. This was in Joplin, Missouri. He was pulled out after 3 hours, basically uninjured. And the next day, he said that in the past, he had gone on many Presbyterian disaster relief trips himself. And when he saw our team wearing our Presbyterian disaster assistance blue shirts coming towards him to help clean up his home, he looked up to heaven and said, "God, I never thought I would be on the receiving end, but now I guess it is my time to receive." Another family in New Orleans told us how God had helped them just before Hurricane Katrina's flood came. When the rains were overflowing the levees, his name was Buster. And Buster went into his garage and he looked around. And his head was spinning with worry because he knew he was in the flood zone. And he looked around and didn't know what to do because his 90-year-old mother was too sick to travel. And his wife and dog wanted to stay in the house too. They did not want to leave their home. So he went into his garage and he spun around just looking at the walls and looking at all of his supplies. And he prayed, "God, what do I need?" And a life jacket suddenly fell at his feet. And he laughed as he picked it up and thought, "Oh, I won't need this. The water won't get that high." But he took it inside, and sure enough, when the waters came, they rose to the ceiling inside his home. And he had to put that life jacket on his mother and swim her out to the tree in their front yard to cling to life for all of them. And he was sure his old beagle dog, who was about, I think, 15 years old, that beagle, he said, "When I last saw her, was sitting on the couch. And when the waters went down and we got back inside the house, she was still sitting on the couch." She had ridden it up to the ceiling and then just stayed there, smart dog. That's why she made it to 15 and just rode it back down again. And so it was amazing. Even though Buster lost his home and all his other belongings, he couldn't stop thanking God for saving his mom, especially with that life jacket that he had no idea he really would need to use it. And he had such a great sense of humor, too. By the time we got there, they had FEMA trailers parked outside these homes, and so he'd had time to kind of fiddle around with cleaning it up already and getting some things done. And he had made a sign with a big arrow pointing up the tree. And on the sign, he wrote, "Buster's Escape Route." It was just the top of the tree. But he was so grateful. That tree was not that big, but it held all of them. So grieving over the losses caused by major disasters is normal. But I'm always amazed at how people of faith deal with the aftermath of disasters in resilient ways. When there is nothing to do but rely on God and one another, the true way of God shows forth. and we tap into the resources God created us to have: compassion, selflessness, and courage. When you brush close to death, you suddenly find ways to appreciate the life you are left with. And when we see and hear about all the people now in Guerneville risking their lives to help their neighbors, it just warms our hearts and reminds us of the awesomeness of human creation. Now, many of us today will receive ashes on our foreheads or on our hands, and we will hear, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And these words bear a truth too often lost in the busyness of our lives. Hurries and worries, burdens and resentments, all will eventually pass away. But in the meantime, burdens and resentments can rob us of the joys of living and diminish our sense of gratitude for God's grace and mercy and majesty. A reminder of the brevity of life calls us to return to the heart of God and God's ways. So may we remember that we will return to the heart of God and to the earth when this life is over. So while we are here and still have another chance to do it, let us begin this journey into Lent by following the way of God through sincere fasting from the things in life that distract us from focusing on the ways of Jesus. And let us be thankful and practice sincere service to those who are oppressed. Let us return to Jesus with our whole heart by being a healing force of love wherever we go.